Imagine a school where rather than taking handwritten tests, the children learn by doing. Hi, welcome to The Child's Mind, the show about children, their ways of learning, and how parents and caregivers can facilitate it. It's 11 a.m. on Wednesday, April 19, 2017, and you're listening to kpcradio.com. I'm your host, Kelly Metcalf. Today we discuss what is a Waldorf school. My guest today is Zion Crosby. He went to a Waldorf school and is now training to be a teacher. Thank you for joining me today, Zion.
Hi, thank you. Glad to be here.
Last we spoke, you told me that the philosophy of Waldorf school is anthroposophy. Can you explain what that is?
So Rudolf Steiner, an Austrian philosopher and anthroposophist, he founded the Society of Anthroposophy. So literally it means the wisdom of man. And that's what we really strive for, is looking at the history of, you know, of man, and looking at where have we founded these truths that other cultures have acknowledged as well. And so we use a lot of mythology, and we, you know, a lot of cultural looking at the history of a lot of things that, yeah.
Can you give me like an example? Like, what is that?
Well, I mean, it's, we definitely don't close our gates to anything. A lot of our teachings are based off, you know, spiritual findings, spiritual leaders, and you know, we look a lot at, and it's a lot of science based. Rudolf Steiner was a scientist ultimately, and so this, he came at this and tried to tackle this in a scientific way, and was backed up by the community, and I mean, it's kind of hard to give an example to be exact, but. We use a lot of mythology in the way that we teach the kids through art, and we use a lot of stories and try and teach the kids, you know, the morals that come through these myths, and not just look at it as some story, but as, you know, as true tales that have told about the human soul and about the human in its entirety, and how we've changed and where we've come from.
So is it a religious school?
Definitely not. Definitely not dogmatic at all. And everything that Steiner ever, you know, lectured about, he constantly stressed his students to question him and to not accept everything and to take what he taught and to test it into the world and find their own truth in it. And that's what I really appreciate, is there's, you know, he, and even his spiritual beliefs, he doesn't push on any of the teachers or, you know, require the teachers to believe in any of that. He offers them as a tool, and we don't push any of that philosophy onto the children. That's specifically for the teachers, so that we have a stronger foundation in who we are and what we want to bring to the classroom.
So what about academics? Like, when do they learn reading or writing?
So Waldorf is at a very individual basis, in that we accept children that if they're not ready, we can prepare them through other ways. And instead of, so we bring the curriculum through activities that the children are interested in, and through more physical things, like we'll start math, you know, with using blocks and rhythm and dancing and movement, and then once they get that rhythm down, and then you know, and they're having fun, they don't even realize they're doing math. And then once we have, you know, we're doing, you know, problems on the board, they've realized, well, this is just like what I did, you know, out in the yard, and it's fun to them. You know, it's not like, oh, this is work, and now you have to do work. It's tying everything together and bringing out the passion for knowledge that's in every child. And, you know, it's just the way that we can foster it through letting the kids know that there's actually a lot of fun things to do with learning, and there's just different ways to foster it.
So it's similar to like a Montessori school where the children learn at their own pace?
It's similar. It's definitely not like Montessori. It has the same idea, in that we're not going to hold a certain standard for every child, and that we're going to work with them individually. But it's, the classroom dynamic is much more a social community dynamic than a Montessori. Montessori, everyone has, you know, their own workstations and their own workload. And I went to a Montessori for about 2 years. And but Waldorf is very much more as a classroom as a whole.
I've heard of the term eurythmy. Do you know what that means?
Yeah, so Eurythmy is a movement that Shiner also founded, and it's a lot like hula in the way that every movement is a gesture for a, for a word or for a letter. And so, I mean, I can spell out my name. We use it to recite poetry, and it's also for the kids. It's a bonding exercise where all of them, they're all creating the same movement together in a classroom, and by having that unity, they're really, you know, bonding closer, and but they're also, they all feel like they're a part of something, and at the same time, they can express their own way of how they're going to express this movement or this gesture. And so children really own it, but they also feel a part of this community.
So music seems to be very involved in a Waldorf school. Is there like a music curriculum or?
Yes, so music, we involve music in every part of our exercises, with math, with art, with science, with everything we try and involve music with. We practice in first grade. First graders get their wooden recorders, and we play for about 15, 20 minutes, 30, sometimes an hour, depends on the teacher, every morning. And then eventually, once they get to, fifth, sixth grade, they're just playing by themselves. They don't really need much guidance because they've been doing it so much. And, of course, everything is up to the teacher. I mean, there is no set in stone schedule for every teacher. Every teacher has a different classroom, totally. I mean, of course, all the ideas and the same themes are circulated, recirculated. However, everyone has their own different take on it.
That's, wow. Going back to science,
mm-hmm.
You said it's very mythological approach.
Well, we try and bring imagination into science. For example, in seventh grade chemistry, I took a summer intensive, and as we go into the classroom, we're all supposed to, try and be in the essence of a seventh grader. And so the instructors were teaching us like as we were the seventh graders. And so we walked into a classroom and, we started talking about, we just observed a candle and light and it burning the candle and the wax melting. And instead of trying to say what these processes were and the scientific explanations, we would just simply ask for observations, like, what do you see? What can you give a more definitions and words for this? And then so that sparks a deeper imagination in the child rather than these abstract concepts that we've been fed and that that are already defined. Instead, they can bring out their own definition for what they see, and everyone has a different observation, and it really brings it down to a more simpler observation. Oh, I see the wax is slowly rolling off of the candle, and it just brings more imagination and a better picture for the child to see, and then so by bringing it a lot slower through that, a lot of public schools you don't see chemistry at seventh grade, but in a Waldorf school you don't see them learning getting math sheets that are 100 questions long, in first or third grade. So by slowing it down in the beginning, we can accelerate it later on, because it, instead of throwing all of this curriculum on them and telling them that this is work, we bring it out of them, and they're enthusiastic to do it. And because of that, once they get to eighth grade, they're a lot way more ambitious to learn and to do it, because they haven't had these preconceived notions that work or that learning is hard work, or that it's some task. It's really a journey. So
when do children start to learn world languages?
Oh, so yeah, we I went to Halilakala campus on Hawaii on Maui, And there we learned Spanish and Japanese. And now we learned, and every school is different according to the region. So a California school would learn Spanish. I'm not sure what the second language would be, but since, you know, Hawaii is a little closer to the Pacific, you know, we learned Japanese. So I learned how to, I still know how, remember how to count up to 10 in Japanese. And, you know, I continued, of course, Spanish in public school. But yeah, we start at first grade. We start learning how to count. And really simple, you know, I mean, I don't want anyone to think that Waldorf is an elite Ivy League type school. Once it gets up to high school, we're doing some very complicated things, but that's because we fostered it correctly in the beginning, by turning it into something that's really enjoyable.
Can you give an example of what these complicated things would be?
Well, I mean, I am not really familiar with the high school curriculum. That's a totally different route for teachers. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm doing the early childhood, and then I'll be, eventually, I want to work with grades. But, you know, I mean, we go really deep into a lot of, you know, controversial topics with history. A lot of, you know, things that we talk about, like a lot of classrooms and teachers wouldn't be comfortable talking about, and whether or not it's true or if it's speculation, but it brings up things about our own country or other countries and that are questionable. But we encourage that in our class because we want this intellectual thought. We want children to not be fed one mainstream source of news or one and have one line of thought. We want them to consider all possibilities.
Is media limited then to a Waldorf school?
Media?
Yes.
Oh, yes. All children and parents agree to a contract to limit all media. No movies, no TV, nothing at the home. Of course, there's teachers, and I was one of them, you know, my dad would take me to go see Gladiator movies when I was 12, you know, I'd come back, you know, or like 10 really, and I'd come back and talk to the kids about it at Waldorf, and, you know, the teachers would get a little upset because I was bringing things to the play. Because the reason why we do that is because we believe that the children, when they don't have any of this, these pictorial images, these already defined images that media feeds us, then if you watch them during their play, they come up with some very interesting role play and imaginative situations and scenarios that you don't see with a kid who just watches TV. Or, you know, gets the media, you know, they see the, oh, Power Rangers, oh, the guns, or the lightsabers, you know, and they use these images and it becomes violent because of what they're seeing. And a lot of the kids who don't get that, yeah, they might come up with, you know, because they hear fairy tales, we do a lot of mythology, so maybe the fighting the dragon, but it's way less fight the, kill the bad guys, you know, it's way more, it really isn't that. It's really more fight justice, you know, or it's saving. So, you know, it's a lot, I don't want to say innocent, but, it really is, you know, in the way that it's untouched and, that it's this pure imagination that's coming from the child, not from any media, not from anything outside, you know, that has already been adultified. And that's the thing, is we really realize that so many times, the second that a child goes into first grade, we're rushing them to become an adult. You know, we want them to become, start getting prepare. And that's where we lose the child, is because they start getting these abstract ideas that they're really not ready for. They're really in their body in the first, you know, 15 years and developing, and really in their, what we call ethereal, which is their like life spirit.
So how does grading work?
So yeah, we don't take any tests. We assess the children through their work, and we have parent teacher conferences and talk to their teachers and talk to their parents and let them know, hey, you know, we noticed this, or, you know, but there is no grades. There's never any ranking or anything like that.
So how would a student who has been in a Waldorf school then perform in a standardized test if they were to transfer?
Well, it would depend on what grade, definitely. Maybe if they were, you know, early on, they might not be able to do it. But the thing is, with a Waldorf student, is they're unhindered by a lot of things that other students are. we've found, you know, with a lot of media and stuff, ADHD and a lot of the distractive characteristics that we see in a lot of modern children nowadays is through heavy media usage. And so a Waldorf student generally is able to focus a lot more and be able to read a question, and even if they don't know anything about it, be able to answer the question based off, you know, the question. Whereas a lot of children now, it's hard for them to really read, you know, instructions. And I mean, I see it, you know, I work with children on their homework in a public school every day. And I see that these kindergartners are not ready for these words. They can't even read them. So why are we giving them a worksheet if they can't even read it or understand that type of word?
I've heard that Waldorf schools do a sort of looping system where the teachers stay with the grade. Is that true?
Right. So starting first grade, the ideal Waldorf education is that the first grade teacher takes the first grade class and takes them and works with them in that same class all the way to eighth grade. And then if they, you know, go on, a lot of students go to high school. Some of them don't. I know a lot of students who don't go to high school, and they're extremely successful because they have those foundations and they have that passion for knowledge, that yearning that a lot of children just get cheaped out on because they get the wrong perception of what learning is.
So does that mean that there are multiple ages in the same?
No. Well, I mean, yeah. So a lot of times with kindergarten is that we encourage children to stay a second year if they're just not ready for first grade. And so a lot of times, like, for example, that was me. So I would, you know, so we'd have, you know, set ranging ages, but nothing too big. I mean, nothing really you would see in your, or you still see the same thing in public schools when kids get held back, except it's more of a negative thing. In Waldorf, being held back or something, it's not looked at as a negative. It's looked at, oh, okay, well, this child is different, and this child right now is developing their body more or developing something else and that's going to be more developed, which is great. That's another strength, and we can use that. In Waldorf, we use temperaments. Instead of saying that's a bad child, that's a moody child, he's a smart kid, you know, he's a social kid, we use the four temperaments that actually the Greeks came up with. And so there's melancholic, there's phlegmatic, there's choleric, and there's sanguine. And so each of those have their own kind of body type that usually you see, and each has characteristics. Like, for example, choleric is very, it's like the red, it's like the fire. It's very, they're more mostly leaders, but they're also very active and distractible, and they can be, you know, very sometimes aggressive or very out forward putting but we see that as, wow, they're leaders, you know, and they're the ones that get people's attention instead of looking at that's the crazy kid who runs around and causes messes. So I identify as a choleric, you know, but anyways,
what is a choleric again?
So choleric is just one of the temperaments. Sanguine would be kind of like the mellower version of it, where it's more the curiosity and exploring the world and being really open to things. Melancholic is a lot more emotional, but we don't see that as, oh, she's emotional, he's emotional. It's just, oh, they can actually help other people by tuning into that emotion and being able to relate. And so they'd be really good social workers, or, you know, really people just working with other people and being able to get on their level. Phlegmatic is a little similar too. It's really hard to explain all of them in a few minutes, but I highly recommend anyone to look them up. You know, the four temperaments, the Greeks came up with it.
So Waldorf really focuses on not being negative toward a child, not calling them a bad child.
Never. I mean, we don't have any, we try and avoid using negative words like don't, no. Because a lot of children, especially in early childhood, they don't hear. Don't is an abstract word. It's you know, they don't. It's a contraction. They don't understand contractions at that age. So when you say don't climb up, they hear climb up. And I mean, that's a little younger, more kinder and younger. But it's still, you know, it still rings true with a lot of children. I mean, you said, don't touch the button. What are they going to do?
Touch the button.
Exactly.
So how do you know if Waldorf is a good fit for a specific child?
So, yeah, that's one thing. We're not trying to say, oh, Waldorf's the best ever and every child needs to go to Waldorf. We obviously realize that some children, they're just not meant for Waldorf, and that's totally cool. You know, the world is plenty of places for everyone. So we usually see that with a family who maybe has a lot of involvement in technology and like a director or like a filmmaker, and he's really proud about that and he wants to show his children, you know, all the movies, and that's super cool, and like we really respect that. But we would say, hey, you know, if that's your passion and you want your child to be, you know, exposed to that, that's totally your choice, but we just feel like that wouldn't be fair to the children in our program that don't get that, and they're hearing all this stuff and it's affecting their play. And it's affecting. And so, you know, we might ask, hey, you know, do you really feel like this is a right fit for you? That's just one example. I mean, it's really rare for that to ever happen. It's usually, you know, like the parent's choice.
Going back to children transferring from a Waldorf, are there some things that they might struggle with now in not a Waldorf school?
If a child moved from Waldorf to public?
Yes.
Well, see, I'll give you an example. I went up to third grade, kinder to third grade, and then halfway, and then I went to Montessori, and in Montessori, the first day, they handed me a sheet, and it was about 100 problems, and said, you're in competition with everyone else, welcome to Montessori, first day. And for me, that was just catastrophic. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Why do I need to be in competition of other people? Why do I need to fill in a sheet? I had never even written on, like, you know, stuff like that, some printed sheet like that. We usually do chalkboards or everything in Waldorf. We try and do everything's made out of wood, very wholesome, all natural. So we try and curate that appreciation for nature that a lot of kids lose. So anyways, but I did fine. You know, I had like a 4.0 pretty much all throughout my, and I still do pretty much throughout my scholastic career. And I've always had a great relationship with teachers. I struggled a little bit with math, but now I love it. Now I'm really good at it. You know, it's just that little arch. But other than that, like, it's the passion that really what helped me, is because I loved learning and I loved being in the classroom setting. I loved working with my teachers and developing relationships with them, which no other student really I ever saw. And I went to 5 different high schools. So
it seems like science and technology really go together. But you're saying that that's not really something that Waldorf believes in?
Science was created a lot longer before technology was ever around. Science is based off observations. And we don't need scientific data to prove observations all the time. Sometimes seeing is believing.
So do you feel that the school does prepare students for everyday life?
Yeah, and it gives them a stronger will to fight forward and know that there is good in the world and to not give up and to be a good person. It makes them stronger, and it definitely does prepare them for what's to come instead of try and get them used to a dark world.
So is there anything you'd like to add to today's subject?
I would just highly suggest anyone to please come into Waldorf. We have a Highland Hall in Northridge. We have classes every Saturday for the teacher training, and anyone's welcome to, you know, stop by and take a peep and just look around, talk to the directors. They're so nice, Gene and John and Alex. And, you know, you're welcome to stop by and check it out. Do, like, you know, check out a class for once or twice, you know, bring some friends. And we have a Mayfair coming, May 19th, I believe. Anyways, look it up. Mayfair, it's awesome. It's going to have carnival games, archery, all types of cool stuff. And the Maypole, we're going to be celebrating, you know, the Day of Peace and Earth Day. And and the Mayfair.
Where is it?
So it's in Highland Hall. It's Highland Hall Waldorf School. So it's in Northridge. It's off Superior and Balboa.
Is there a site that people can go to?
Yeah, just go to Highland Hall Waldorf School. I'm sorry, I wish I had something, but I mean, if you Google those, you'll find it. It's the first thing that will come up.
Right. Well, thank you, Zion Crosby, for joining me today to talk about children, their ways of learning, and how parents and caregivers can facilitate it. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to KPCRadio.com. I'm your host, Kelly Metcalf.
Thank you.